I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
How long are you willing to wait on the Lord? Really, think about it. Let me ask you this. Would you wait till tomorrow for a prayer that's prayed today? I hope so. That's faster than Amazon. I mean, you better be able to, right? But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So wait, hang on a second. Does that mean that tomorrow's answer to today's prayer might take another millennium? Or does that mean that he can answer 1,000 years of prayer today alone? Well, both, actually, both. But either way, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's not slow, he's patient. How does that work? I didn't know that one canceled out the other, because I'd like to go back and have my gym grade changed, because I may have had the most patient mile time in sixth grade history. Turns out I'm not slow at all. I'm just the world's most patient man. Isn't that nice? Well, that's just strange, though. How does patience nullify slowness? And I thought about it, and here, it's because of this. There's a difference between time and timing. Because something's time means how long it takes to happen. That's its duration, right? While something's timing just means when it happens, when it occurs, its beginning. And we call things that have fast time quick, right? They're quick. And fast timing, soon. Soon, the beginning is closer to you. And the Bible makes it very clear that God gets things done quickly and soon. And as a matter of fact, Jesus himself reminds us how God works at the end of the persistent widow parable, where he says, I tell you, he will see that his people get justice and quickly, because that's his time. That's the time that he takes. However, when the Son of Man comes, and that's his timing, will he find faith on the earth? That's a good question. I guess that depends on when that is, right? But, okay, we got him here. We got him. That's all it's all about, tricking God, right? Making sure we got him, because if he wants everyone to come to repentance, which he says he does, then a time with faith on the earth would be the right time to do it. And so we can also know that if there's a right time, well, then there's a wrong time. And the wrong time would be too soon or not soon enough. But if, like he says he is, he's committed to giving us what we need when we need it so that we can be saved, then we can absolutely know this wonderful truth. God does everything as soon as possible, right? He can't be early and he can't be late. He has to and will always be right on time. After all, you see, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Right time. So no. No, God's not slow. He's on time. And slow would mean running late, which he doesn't do, okay? So as some people think of slowness, he ain't that. But make no mistake, because he is willing to patiently postpone all that he has promised until the timing is perfect. So when it comes to our prayer, we should and have to trust that every answer is on its way with no delay, and it will arrive as soon as it's possible. But, I'll say it again, he will wait 1,000 years if necessary. So the real question is, will you? No! No, I don't want to wait 1,000 years, and I can't wait 1,000 years, by the way, for God to answer my prayers, I won't make it. Well, I hate to break it to you. You might have to. Have to wait 1,000 years. Because as soon as possible is as fast can go. I mean, it literally means as soon as possible, which means God's already exhausted every single opportunity to expedite the process. The only way to move up his timing would be for us somehow to make them possible sooner. But how do we do that? How can we know when one of our prayers is possible or becomes possible? Well, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Remember that? It's no longer a matter of if. It's just a matter of when. Right? We talked about that last week, and I love that. That is such a good point to remember. Praying according to his will is what assures us that an answer is presently possible. You do that. You pray according to his will, and you have the guaranteed power of God behind each and every prayer that you produce. So do you? Do you do that? It's hard to tell. It's actually, before you answer, I mean, it's really hard to tell, especially for us self-centered sinners, you know, because we really like to paint our portraits a little prettier than we are in person. I mean, just take a look at your profile pics. Right? That's about it. It's about true. This one's comical, but we all do it. We all do the same thing. And I'll tell you what, our prayers ain't much help sometimes. But I'm sure there's a church somewhere that says I don't need it. Yeah. Well, hang on before you go. I'm not done. It also means exercising power. You do get to have that power. You know, it's the power that you get to control. The kind of power that can change God's very plans. Oh, I bet it's willpower. Like the way that he tricked us with self-control. No, and stop interrupting. This is not the time to interrupt. This is where things actually start to get a little bit appealing. Because let's be honest, all right? This is honesty time. We all know this. Willpower doesn't really work. It doesn't. Not for humans, anyway. We are actually defined by our weak will. You guys remember this one? Yeah, that's about right. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what?
Weak.
That's what defines, that's how you can tell them apart. That one's weak. We can't, in the flesh, just decide to do what we know that we should while denying what we know we shouldn't, right? We can't. That would be great, but otherwise, if that were true, we'd all be successful, healthy geniuses who never, ever gave in to any of our undisciplined desires. But I gotta ask you, does that sound like anyone that you've ever met? No, not even Bruce. It's true. Yeah, I mean, and that's crazy. Of course not. That's not because we're all humans. That's just what happens. And as humans, we prefer fleeting fancies to lofty goals almost always. You know, forget whether or not they're good for us. They're easy. They're easy to attain, and they're always right there ready and waiting for us. And we love that. And we love it because of the way that our heart handles desire. That's exactly the way that we like them, that we actually need them. And as a matter of fact, I read this wonderfully stuffy, old-timey sermon by a guy named Thomas Chalmers. Is that right? Yeah, Thomas Chalmers. 19th century sermon that he called The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. It's Scottish, Old English kind of a thing, so it's really hard and overly intellectual. But he makes some great points in it. And he gives a great explanation of why willpower won't work as the force behind our self-control. And it's because, I mean, we can't just shut down what we want. We can't just say no more of that because the heart is just too powerful. And one of the things that he says, it's quite in vain to think of stopping one of these pursuits in any way else but to stimulate it to another. Okay? Now, what that means, really, simply put, what he's saying is human hearts can't be empty. They can't. And we all know this intuitively as well, because a heart that wants nothing suffers the ultimate pain of apathy and hopelessness. And we hate that. We will do anything in the whole world to prevent that pain. That's what a lot of us do. If we don't have a desire in there, that pain is so great that we'll do whatever it takes to fill it, to put something in there for us to want. So because the human heart needs to be filled with a desire, we can't just will it to be empty of what it wants. We can't. We can only exchange those wants for other wants. And it's because we are ruled by our wants that we have been warned, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it, right? That's who's calling the shots. Willpower fails, but want power wins all the time. And that means this, though. It is not willpower that changes us. It is want power, okay? We're looking at a bunch of pictures of dogs because that's about right. There's an animal side to us that just has that training that we just keep, can't stop. We just do what we do. And therefore, it's the foolish flesh in us that gets to call the shots because it's ruled by the heart. But that's wonderful news. It sounds bad because we're like, that guy, that's the worst part of me. No, that's wonderful news because we also have a dose of God's Spirit to outwit that nitwit that we have in the flesh. That guy that just drives you crazy, we've got the Lord there and we can work with him. We have to work with him to convince our human hearts to make God's will the thing that we want, okay? Because here is the whole secret right here. Self-control is not about repressing desire, but replacing it. You try to repress it and you will fail. That is just the willpower, but you can't. You have to give it something. You got to replace it. The whole trick. So what I want you to take away here today, the whole trick changing our will is to change our want, okay? And you can do that because then if you do, if you can change what your heart wants, what the flesh wants, then we will willingly do the things that serve our want, no problem, like the animal that we are, that the flesh is, that just sees something and it goes after it nonstop. It just, that's it. It's just single-minded. As a matter of fact, take Jacob as a great example. Take Jacob in the Bible and the years of labor that he was willing to work because of his want power. It says Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her, because of how much he wanted it. 7 years of work seemed like a few days. That's amazing. And that right there is the effect, the power of want power. Want power. Just imagine if I, you know, if I set my heart on God the same way, could we get the story that says Noah served his whole life to get to God, but it seemed like a couple of weeks because of his love for him? Yes, we could. Any one of us could do that if we could just have our heart set in that same way. So how do we do it? How do we get our heart to want the Lord's will the most? Here's some good news. That's actually the easy part. It's the easy part because our heart is a total pushover. Total pushover. And I learned that in the 7th grade. I remember it so vividly because it was lunchtime and a group of yo-yo enthusiasts, some club. And I got to ask if you remember this happening, because I think it was across the nation, but a group of yo-yo enthusiasts would come in and put on a little show that the school had booked, and then they'd sell yo-yos and everything. And I tell you what, I had zero opinions about yo-yos that morning, but by the early afternoon, I was obsessed with them. I needed a yo-yo now, and I begged for the money, and I got one. And I started practicing every single day, and I hung out with the new yo-yo group at school, and you know, every opportunity that I had, because there was a yo-yo, I mean, I was just like, yeah, this is what it's all been leading up to. That was it. And it was so strange, but you know why that happened? It's so simple. It's because our heart is always ready to want. It just needs an opportunity. That's it. We live in a world full of hearts that are just dying to desire something. And anybody, even a group of yo-yo kids, can provide that opportunity, give them something to want. And if you don't realize where that's happened in your life, I want you to just all pull out your phone and realize that in 2007, that's what Apple did. Okay, when it convinced your heart that it wanted an iPhone more than anything in the entire universe, even though prior to that you had never once heard of such a thing, it just took a couple of good ads to make you realize you couldn't live without it. And here's what's so cool about that. We all have that very same power. And we can use it, so why not? Why don't we? Why not use that power to sell yourself on God's will. Make it your chief desire. It's a pretty easy pitch actually to make. You could just tell your heart, look, if we want God's will above all else, he will absolutely answer every one of our prayers. Well, that's pretty good. That's a nice pitch. It's pretty enticing. But is it more enticing than yo-yos and iPhones? That's what we gotta discern. We gotta get it there. And you can actually tell. You can see where your desires are landing right now, because how you live reveals who's winning that war of wants inside your heart. I know, see? Every single day they compete, all the wants in your heart, all the desires, and every single day the rankings change. Yeah. That's my heart at work right there. It's so true. And they change based on the experiences that you have with them. Tonight's matchup may be a good night's sleep versus finishing that Netflix series, right? One of them's going to win. You want them both, but only one of them's going to win. And then you might have a title fight coming up here when it gets real big, and it's money versus integrity. But in one form or another, these battles are going on every single day. So, if we want God's will to get into that fight and then to take the top spot sooner than later, we got to help it out. We got to fix the fight. And that means being more impressive than a gang of yo-yo hipsters, and also more appealing than every single Apple ad that was ever run. And that's tough because, boy, those guys are good at it, right? But we got to sell our heart on the stuff that's in God's will that all the other wants can't offer. We got to give it something to want more than all those. We got to steal our heart's attention, and we got to wow it into wanting nothing else. And all that really actually takes is a glimpse of God's glory. It's what got every single one of you in this room today. You caught a glimpse of the glory of God and you said, that is incredible and I want that more than anything. And the more you latch onto that and the more you see, the more that desire grows and the further he climbs that ladder to the top of your list. But we gotta show the world, we gotta show ourselves, we gotta show everybody that glimpse of God's glory. And then you know what? It's a good thing that God made his light shine in our hearts then, huh? To give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Yeah, you have a relationship. You've met him. You get it. You know why. Because seeing Jesus as the glory in God's will makes a pretty good case for wanting that will. Because when you see that, you go, okay, here's the new pitch that I get to make to my heart, to myself, to anyone. If we just want God's will above all else, we become perfect. It doesn't really get better than that. Oh yeah, also, we don't die. You can't beat that pitch. That is the ultimate sales pitch. And as we saw a couple weeks ago, every single minute of FaceTime that we spend with someone draws us deeper into love. So that's all it takes. The whole strategy to keep our heart set on God's will is as simple as just spending time with him. It's all it takes. That's our step to put everything in motion. And I know it. I've been trying to, and I've I've done it. I've had good times. I had a really great thing going with God for a long time. Bible was really fun. Prayer felt really positive and effective. And I noticed some really sincere personal growth. It was all so good. But then I got busy and God got distant. But I still did what I was supposed to. I asked God to help me find some time. I know we need that time. Help me find some time. But then one particularly packed day, after dropping my girls at school and after my half-hour commute to the church, I realized I had left my computer at home back in Anacortes. And I got mad. I got mad at God. I mean, I'm sitting here going, here I am trying to do my part, right? Trying to beat my heart into submission, trying to get things done for the right reasons, but God sure ain't making it any easier. And it wasn't until I started on my way back home, just angry and fuming, that all of a sudden it hit me like a ton of bricks. It made me so emotional. I'm still just thinking about it. This right here, that moment, this was the only possible way God could carve an hour out of my busy day for just the two of us. He did it. He found a way for our FaceTime that I was praying for and complaining about while I was just letting weaker wants win. And I was the one who was making things impossible. It was my fault. And so I had that moment and I thought, what a wonderful, painful lesson. And so I apologized to God on the spot and I said, I am sorry, I love you. I am so thankful for that. You found this time. I am so thankful for that. And so we talked about family and concerns that I was having all over the place. And then I made it and I picked up my computer. And on the way back to the church, we just listened to the Bible. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And the whole rest of the week, I just felt the fullness of my heart and the foolishness of my flesh and all those other wants. But I knew it was all for my good, right? I knew that I had to learn what we all heard last Sunday. We don't pray to get God to do our will. That's not what we do. We pray to let him use us and to teach us and to change us as we learn to trust his will and make it our top priority and our number one desire. So all I'm saying this morning is this, okay? Why not make things a little bit easier on yourself? Just make it a little bit easier. Don't go through the pain that we're talking about here. Just remind your heart how much you want what he has planned for you. And then take that and pray about it. And then trust that it is already on its way as soon as possible. And that it will absolutely 100% arrive in good, perfect time. Amen. Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we love you and we thank you for patiently waiting for the right time to answer every single one of our prayers perfectly. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you guide us to the glory that steals our heart's attention and transforms our will by changing it what it is that we want. And Lord Jesus, we worship you and we seek to spend more time with you wherever you want, but as soon as possible. And to that, everybody said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.